Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 12th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the day's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. Today is all about this morning's crop production and WASDE reports. We'll take them up in full. And don't forget to stay with us, because just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt should join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday report day, October the 12th, futures finished the day like this. In the nearby December wheat contract, a 15.5 cent drop at 515.5. The March contract at $5.25, and they were off 19.5 cents today. December corn futures opened limit higher, 20 cents up. They managed to stay on a gain of 14 and a quarter for the day at 298 and a quarter. And they made new contract highs today, all the way up to 304. March futures, 308 and a quarter, up 14 and a quarter. The May contract at 312 and a half, up 12 and three quarters. And December futures at 314 and a half, up 5.5 cents for the day. November soybeans at 579 and three quarters, up 17 and a half. January futures at 594 and a half, up 17 and a half, and the March contract 16 and three quarters higher at 604 and one quarter. November beans next year at $6.37 a bushel, up 15 and a quarter for the day. October bean meal, they were $6 higher at $172 even. October bean oil at $24.62, 47 higher for the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle lost $1.80 at $107.45. October live cattle at $88.75 were up 40. And December futures were 80 cents higher at 87.70. October lean hogs 37.5 cents higher at $65.25. The outside markets, crude oil futures, November contract $57.95 a barrel, up 36 cents. And the CRB index at 299.70, that's up 1.89 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now 92 points higher at 11,943 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let me go through the numbers very quickly as they came out from USDA at 7:30 a.m. this morning. Numbers like this for crop production: corn at 10.905 billion bushels. That's down from the 11.114 billion bushel estimate back in September. The yield now at 153.5 bushels to the acre. Soybeans, a yield of 42.8, and they were up at 3.189 billion bushels. And in September, they were at 3.093 billion bushels for the total crop size. Ending stocks for the 06-07 marketing year at 966 million bushels for corn. That's down from 1.22 billion. And soybeans now at 555, and that's actually up from the 530 million bushel estimate that was made by USDA in September. What a wild ride it was today. Tell me what happened in the wheat pit to begin with, and then we'll work our way through the corn and soybeans, and we'll ask Bill Mayer to join us here in just a bit too, and we'll stay with you both for the whole half hour today. Thanks much for doing that for me, by the way. I appreciate it greatly, Dan.
Well, the wheat market's probably got a lot of factors in it. You can, I suppose fundamentally you might want to argue that wheat kind of reacted to buy the rumor, sell the news type situation. Earlier in the week, it was talk that the Australian wheat crop would be 10 million tons or maybe even a bit below that. That at least was some of the fundamental chatter that rallied the wheat market sharply higher here early in the week. Today's report, USDA gave the trade 11 million, which is a significant drop from last month's estimate, and you know, down there close enough to that 10 billion bushel mark or 10 million ton mark that the trade was looking at. So, you know, when the market started firm, it quickly ran out of buyers and then began to kind of fall on its own weight. Another thing in the wheat market, it does look, if you look at open interest climbed sharply last week, and then the last few days here we've seen a big drop off of open interest. So it does tell you that a group of traders or somebody got squeezed out real hard in this wheat market, got liquidated, forced out on this big climb that we saw here this week. So when you have a big drop of open interest like that, that does indicate that you probably hit some kind of climax type top in this thing.
And before we get to the rest of the numbers and the corn and the soybeans and really any expectations that you have, why don't you tell me what you thought would happen once you saw the report this morning?
Well, my initial blush when I saw the 996 million bushel carryout thought that corn would be more of a 10-cent opening call. I think the initial calls on corn was, you know, like 3 to 5 or something like that. I thought that was way conservative. I was more in the camp of maybe 10 to 15. And, of course, we opened up 20. So, I mean, you can tell how sensitive the trade was to that type of number. Because, see, the trade was looking for a little higher number. I mean, the USDA's estimate came in about 240 million bushels less than what the average trade guess was. It was about 210 million less than last month. And basically, USDA kept the demand numbers the same and then just basically took it out of carryout. So it shows you how sensitive the market is to those kind of numbers. And it also shows you that type of carryout, that the market is probably more interested in slowing demand than it is adding additional acres at this time. Because, yes, you can add some additional acres at this time because you do have farmers making decisions about what kind of acreage mix they're going to have next year. But you don't plant those acres until next spring, and a lot of water can go under the bridge between now and next spring. So this bull spread mode, you can see where D's corn closed up 19, new D's was only up a nickel. So the market, the first phase of this market now is probably slow demand or get some cooling off of demand. What the market will use to tee off of that, we'll have to kind of wait and see. You really probably ain't going to see any good sign of slowing of demand, if that's going to materialize at these prices, until you get into the January crop report. Then when you'll have a stocks number, and that'll kind of give you what the idea of first quarter usage is. But the first phase of the corn market is to slow demand, and then I think the second phase then will be next spring probably, and that will probably be more of a new crop price function. Will be to ensure that we get an acreage increase to kind of meet some of this demand.
We're talking with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. He'll stay with us for the whole half hour, and when we return in just a moment, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois will join us too to talk about what's been happening in the commodity markets in Chicago on this October 12th report day from the United States Department of Agriculture.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy, and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world. Did you miss the closing market report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILLAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILLAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. We're joined this afternoon to take a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade, Mercantile Exchange, the Kansas City Board of Trade, and the United States Department of Agriculture by our regular analyst on Thursday, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Again, Dan, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, is with us as well. Thanks, Bill, for joining us early. We appreciate that, too.
Good afternoon, Todd.
From you, very quickly, if you could give us what the bids there in Lexington are, I would appreciate that. And then we'll get back to Dan real quick and follow up on some of the things he started to discuss before we took our little break.
Okay. On fall corn, we got 274 tonight. January's 287. Cash beans for fall are 545 and January 560. So during the session there on the January corn, we did get up there into the 290s. I think 292 or 293 was the high.
I want to take up where you left off, Dan, just a bit and talk about this bull spread in the market and from a cash perspective, what that means to the producer and if there's any way that they need to be reacting at this point to what's been happening in Chicago.
Well, first thing they're going to notice if it continues is that the distant bids will be less than the nearby bid. So as they make their decisions here, I know Illinois, we're mowing the corn and beans off pretty quickly, but there'll be a point in time come that the spot bid is going to be higher than the distant bid, so that's going to start impacting them on whether or not to buy storage and whatnot. So that's going to be the first impact that they're probably going to notice. I think from a marketing point of view, they have to be on guard that when you get into a bull spread market, how long this lasts. I don't know if it'll last, if today was it, or, you know, it'll last, you know, into Thanksgiving or into to January crop report. That will just have to kind of take 1 week at a time. But what you do, I think, is you run the risk of putting a top in the market early in the marketing year or during the first half of the marketing year, which began here September 1st, more so than probably the last half of the marketing year, because what it's doing is building in all of the demand, bullish demand influences now, so and forcing people to make decisions of whether or not they want to continue to feed cattle or if they want to liquidate this or they want to build that extra ethanol plant that's maybe kind of on the drawing books right now. They postpone those decisions. So what you do is you farmers will need to be careful of planning on storing and storing and storing, waiting on next spring's rally, because that's the conventional wisdom, or has been the conventional wisdom, that this market would rally next spring and maybe go to $3 or $4 or $5, whatever you kind of bullish number you want to have on it. I don't think we're high enough now to necessarily put a top in the market longer term, but one has to be careful of something like that developing between now and the January crop report. Chart-wise, looking at my weekly or a monthly cash chart here, if you measure the swing move off of our cash low that we had a year ago on October, it was during October 05, we had a cash low of something like $1.63. We rallied that market into July 06, had a high here of about $2.43, and then we had a setback there in late July and August, and we kind of bottomed out, had a good cash low here, about $1.95 here in August. If you use that decline from the July high down to the August low as kind of a midpoint and you measure it from that low that you made here a year ago in October, that projects a cash high or upside price objective about 275, and this is Central Illinois cash average. So depending upon, I think Bill mentioned his prices were somewhere around 274 or something like that. So it tells you that we did meet a price objective here today with this sharply, you know, with this 15 cent higher close. Now the next point, if we're going to continue this thing, would be right on up into the 3.25 area cash market, and that would probably equate to something around, you know, 350, 355 type December futures.
Bill, what's your experience with a bull spread market?
And just to point out an example of what Dan was talking about there on the bull market, would be to go back to the 2003 bean crop when we had the short beans that year, and just kind of look at that. And if you remember, we did exactly what Dan was saying there. We got the cash, nearby cash, inverted over the deferred months by a lot. I don't remember the exact numbers. But then about the time everybody thought that the processors would really be scrambling and really have to bid up in the summertime, we just collapsed that thing. And that, I think, is a good example of what you're talking about in that type of a market.
So how do you advise producers at this point? What is it that they need to be watching out for? I understand that probably they need to just take a look at their acres and say, well, 274 might be a good cash price when I add my direct payment onto it. But they're probably going to hang on for a while. So how do they look at this market in terms of when they actually pull that trigger? What are the signs that the market might be ready to turn around, Bill?
Well, I think that you've got to look at the near-term overbought situation, overbought, oversold. We like to look at the stochastics or the RSI and look at that. I think that you've just got to be realistic as you look at the cash prices and see that the market is telling you that it really wants your corn right now, or your, in this case, the corn, that, you know, there, if there is a disincentive to hold on to the cash grain, you have to consider moving that cash grain, and then maybe you look at some other type of re-ownership, either through call options or something like that.
When we started talking about the bull spread, is there a concern on those guys from your part, either of you, I suppose, on those guys who might have an HTA that is out in the marketplace at this point? I know that they had some troubles with hedge to arrives. I talked to Darrell Good about this earlier in the week. Even as long as we had a carry in the market, it didn't seem to be something he was particularly concerned about. But if this turns around, that might be a little different.
Well, first thing, probably on HTA, I think basis levels are to the point where they're a whole lot better than what anybody anticipated, probably when they put those HTAs on. So I think, you know, at some place in here, you know, they could just take that HTA, convert it to cash, move the cash into the marketplace, then take a look at maybe some re-ownership type positions, either with futures or call options. I mean, that would be the first choice, because, I mean, that was the reason you put on the HTA, is because the basis bids were very wide, or you thought maybe the basis bids would improve, and basis is, have done a real good job in here, considering what we were, what the trade was maybe thinking of here a couple months ago. So you could convert it to a cash. The next choice would be to, but this what gets everybody in trouble, so you got to be a little careful, is move it, move your nearby hedge, like a December or March, move it on out into July or September of next year.
And that's where they got
and you would still kind of somewhat be hedged, but you would be in position to take advantage of the bull spread, because the back ends would not go up as much as the front end, or you could go all the way out to December 07. But I'm a little uneasy advising that type of advice just blanket advice. And I would say if anyone is interested in, you know, thinking about maybe doing that or wanting to do that, they do need to kind of maybe seek out some professional help and guide them through that so they don't get totally cockeyed and get ripped up, because you can get ripped up on these spreads. And I think the first example is what happened into the wheat market this year, this week. I understand a lot of pit traders were bear spread this market. They were short the front end and long the short the front end, long the back. And when the market climbed on them last week, they got themselves in margin problems, and then they had to liquidate, and that kind of explains why this wheat market has been so volatile and the open interest declined. And see, you saw July wheat up like 11 cents at one time here today, so they were unwinding that bear spread. So you have to be careful with these spreads. We remember what happened back in the mid-90s with the HTAs and, you know, marketing your grain in one crop year, expecting to roll it to the next. That did not work very well. So if someone begins to start moving hedges into different months trying to play the spread, I would encourage them to seek out professional help.
Bill, we'd better talk about soybeans just a bit. We have 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
17.5 cent move today. Beans, 555 million carryout according to the WASDE numbers this morning. The yield at 42.8, and total production at 3.189 billion. That's up from 3.093 billion. Last year, by the way, a better yield at 43.3, but raised just 3.086 billion bushel crops. So tell me about this 17-cent rally.
Well, I think what the real message of this report was today, when you saw the Illinois corn yield come down and the Iowa corn yield come down, I think 6 bushel of the acre, and Illinois down 3, I think what that message was is we may need to pull more acres in the corn than what we thought we did. If we had this year out here where we had pretty good weather overall in most parts of the country, that we're going to raise this kind of crop, it probably tells us that we maybe need more acres than we thought. So I think whenever you saw the corn go up there, you've had this fight here for acres, and I think that the next logical place to go and put your long position was in the soybeans. So you saw the corn lock up the limit, and then within a matter of minutes, it seemed to me like sitting there watching it, that soybean market went from about 8 or 9 higher to 20 higher. And I think that it's just a matter of you have to, the commodity have to compete as far as making their case for planting soybeans or planting wheat or planting corn.
So you're both in agreement here that what we saw today in the USDA numbers and the rally was that in the next 6 months we're going to try to buy corn acres. Somebody's going to take a long position in the beans because of that, and that we may be moving the highs for corn into the next 6 months as well, possibly.
And as Dan said, we have to cut demand, and we have to increase supplies. Now, the question always is, where do we do that? I mean, that's the question that is hard to answer. And, I was looking at some ethanol numbers with a guy today. We've changed some of these return on investments to, from 135% down to 15-16%. Still a good return, but maybe a little bit harder to raise the money than what we thought.
Any final word from you, Dan?
No, that's. I think we did a good job kind of summing things up. We could probably talk for another hour, Todd, but I don't think you got time, or the other radio people probably throw you off.
Yeah, they probably will. I've got 15 seconds, and we'll do this again tomorrow and then on Commodity Week, too. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us. I appreciate it a lot. Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us here on a special edition of the Closing Market Report, taking a look at the October 12th USDA crop production numbers. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Rob Blagojevich's campaign is continuing to try to distance the governor from a close advisor who was indicted yesterday on corruption charges. At Blagojevich's campaign headquarters in Chicago, State Senator Carol Ronan characterized Tony Rezko as a political operative who raised money for many candidates and not just the governor. She also says Rezko was one of many people making recommendations when the governor went about filling scores of government positions. A key figure in the government's case against former Governor George Ryan has been sentenced to 4 months in prison for her role in a bid-rigging scheme. Alexander Kotretsa today also was ordered to serve 2 years of supervised release. The prison time will run concurrently with a sentence she got in July in a separate case. Kotretsa is pleaded guilty to working with her fiancé, former Ryan aide Scott Faywell, to rig bids on a contract for the expansion of Chicago's McCormick Place. People needing to reach the Department of Children and Family Services offices in Savoy can still call their phone number, but the person answering the phone will be located somewhere else. Staff who handle daycare and foster parent licensing for an 8-county area have been temporarily assigned to other offices in the region following yesterday's fire at the DCFS Savoy office building. DCFS spokesman Jimmy Whitlow says they're still assessing the damage at the Savoy building. First Lady Laura Bush attended the $150 a couple luncheon in South Bend, Indiana today for incumbent Republican Congressman Chris Ciccola. She raised an estimated $210,000 for Ciccola, who's trailing Democratic challenger Joe Donnelly in the latest polls. Earth movers have begun reshaping the site of the $550 million Honda assembly plant due to open northwest of Greensburg, Indiana in 2 years. Project manager Bill Bryan says they're working against the clock to get things done before winter. Honda turned down other sites, including one near Fithian, Illinois, to build near Greensburg. The plant is expected to employ 2,000 permanent workers and eventually produce 200,000 vehicles a year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined now by Pete Levitt to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little cold. It was cold coming across campus today, 41 degrees outside here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, a little 8-mile-an-hour wind, and she just cuts through you when you're not used to that kind of cool weather. Are we going to stay that way?
Yeah, we're going to stay that way for a few days anyway, through the weekend probably. Tomorrow will be another windy and cool day. The winds will stay up enough, I think, tonight so that we're not going to see much in the way of frost or freezing temperatures as we did this past night, where there are quite a number of stations throughout Illinois, much of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota had temperatures below freezing. I think there'll be a little bit too much wind and activity going on in the middle atmosphere to get those temperatures down all that much tonight. But we do look for temperatures in the low to mid-30s for tonight, and then only getting up into the upper 40s tomorrow. So tomorrow is really going to be another chilly day. And then lighter winds will allow it to get colder Friday night. So Saturday we'll look for another instance of some frost or freezing temperatures around. Pretty widespread, certainly from most areas from I-70 northward and northwestward from there. And that takes us into Sunday with mostly fair weather and temperatures starting to moderate. Then, as luck would have it, it gets warmer as we move into the next week. Monday, Tuesday, temperatures getting up above normal after being about 5 to 10 degrees below normal over the weekend. But then we're going to be facing the chance of some showers on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. There were a few snow flurries even today in northern Illinois and parts of Iowa and southern Wisconsin.
So here in the Midwest, the growing season definitely over. Farmers have known that for quite a while as they've been moving through both the corn and the soybeans at a rapid pace. In South America, they are planting beans. How's that going?
Well, they're starting to get a little bit more rain in the Argentine. They've had a very dry season throughout. But they're starting to see some showers, but it's still too dry. I think that's a bit of a problem there. Moisture is pretty good when you get farther north up into Brazil and those areas, so I don't think they have much of a problem there. The problem areas of the world seem to be in much of the wheat country around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Australia now, as their crop is down, according to the USDA, down to 11 million tons after being in the low 20s the previous season with this wheat crop. Argentina was down, Europe was down on their wheat production, and we were down on our wheat production, and that makes for a tight market there. But the new season getting off a little better start, but we still have problems in our wheat belt down here. We're not getting enough rain. We think we'll see some the middle, early to middle next week, which might perk things up, but it's getting a little late to get rain and get a good crop up before the cold weather really arrives.
Pete, we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Yes, we will.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, talks to us here on the Closing Market Report about the agricultural weather forecast for the nation and the globe each and every Thursday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets with your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great and a very safe afternoon, and try to stay warm.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
It's 2:38 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frain is our technical director.